What's the worst thing you could put on a hot dog? It has to be edible. Can't say like poison.
The worst, I think peanut butter.
No, I had a hot dog with peanut butter on it. I had a hot dog with peanut butter on it when we were in Door County, all of us. The fat Elvis had peanut butter. Okay. Yeah, but like same thing effectively. I think ketchup. Okay,
excuse me. Wow.
Do you think someone's gonna like give you some sort of like trophy?
No, I just wanted to prove I've lived here long enough.
Yeah, no. I'll put ketchup on my hot dogs. I don't care.
No, it's good. Yeah. Like, people are lying when they say it's, like, wrong.
It's wild that as, like, a city, the hill we want to die on is putting, like, I would say the most iconic condiment on one of the most iconic things that it goes on.
Yeah, also the most universal condiment.
Yeah. Like, who, like, if you Googled a picture of a hot dog right now, I bet your bottom dollar there's some ketchup on it.
Ketchup and mustard.
Custard. Yeah, exactly.
We just have to be different.
Custard would be gross on a hot
dog. Chocolate custard. That would be bad.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have an answer in mind?
I mean, there's things I don't like. You could do like basic bad things, like Vegemite or whatever.
Yeah.
But some people would probably be into that.
Yeah, like wolf testicles. Like, I don't personally want that, but I'm sure there's some freaks out there.
Why a wolf?
It was the first animal I thought of.
Wow.
Interesting. That's telling.
Well, there's a stuffed animal wolf behind you. Also, they're the coolest animal. Oh, do we need to introduce the break room? Are we like, welcome to the break room? I see. Take a break with us in the break room where we discuss your favorite episodes of the Experience Corporation. I'm Vanessa.
I'm Caleb.
I'm Len.
I'm Kate.
And Sam is sadly not here today. Sam is feeling sick and will not be joining us. But we actually have a really special guest in the studio that I'm just really excited to talk to.
Who is that?
Oh, we have Bad Georgie here with us today.
Oh, Bad Georgie is here. I didn't see him.
Sorry, Bad Georgie. Sorry, I'm sort of shy.
Georgie, I love your work as part of the Bad Call crew, but also your late night reality show, or talk show, I should say. But it verges on both.
Yeah, we got canceled.
But like, by the network or by the woke mob?
A little column A, a little column B, you know. Bad Georgie isn't the best at political correctness. Not by my own fault, just, you know.
It's tough.
It's a hard thing to get right, you know? So what kind of things do you sort of do on this program of yours?
Let me be honest here. The type of figuring out canonically what is going on with talking to Georgie about a podcast, a fictional podcast he was created for, I'm kind of struggling.
Somebody's overthinking this a little much, I think. Len, how are you doing?
We talk about the audio series arc by arc.
Oh, that sounds real good. Who's that quiet one? Who me? Sorry. I was lost. I was lost in your eyes, Georgie. I don't know what else to say. It's okay. Abby's the best of us.
I like that you're wearing a Munch Squad sweater while doing this bit. It's very Count Donut of you.
It is.
It's very like, don't pay attention while Caleb puts on a cape.
I mean, because we're actually podcasting now. We call the show a podcast, but it's more of an audio series. So I like to channel my inspirations, my idols, Justin McElroy being the biggest of them all.
I always call the audio series the audio drama, which we decided it wasn't an audio drama. Right? I don't know.
I don't really think about which one I use.
I always just say audio series.
Yeah, audio series I think sounds the best and is the most descriptive, but I always say podcast and then people get confused. And I avoid
podcasts because then people think we're just like doing this, and this is like, it's like I've been sound designing this podcast for like a year straight, and then they're like, they think it's like this.
Yeah.
And you can see them get a little confused.
Yeah. My students always say, like, oh, what do you talk about? And I'm like, it's not.
It's not like that. Like that. No.
It's like a cartoon minus the cartoon. And then they'll be like, well, why don't you animate it? And I'll be like, well,
because that would cost literal millions of dollars.
Yeah. And with that, we'd like to launch the Kickstarter for $12 million to make the Experience Corporation come.
I mean,
to
if
life.
Someone has $12 million.
If you have $12 million,
like,
DM me.
You can attend meetings too. I don't know if you'll get input, but like, you can join them.
For $12 million, I think they.
I will not sell out vision for
$12
million.
I will sell out.
Now, $20 million.
Oh my God. Well, so Arc 3 is a fun one. Sound design was. This one, I was, before going into it, like, years ago, I was like, this is the one where I'm going to really show off what I can do as a sound designer. And then while sound designing it, I hated the past version of myself with a passion, because I created all of the Cloud Racers from scratch. Like, they were synthesized in a very complicated, specific way, the combination of different things. There was, like, distance, there was weird cuts, there was, like, all of this stuff going on. I love how it turned out. Love the performances everyone gave, but like, oof, this one was hard.
It sounded so good though. Like, I was listening to it today and I was just, I don't know. There were so many moments where I was like, I can't believe that I can tell what's going on right now.
Yeah. The sound design is phenomenal. Even just like the spaces and the setting too, of like the above ground and how it comes to life.
Yeah. Thank you. The clarity is really like, it's the most important thing and the hardest thing.
Yeah.
Like, I've probably talked about before how, like, we don't have a narrator. And, like, that's great. But for such a small thing, it's so much work from all of us to, like, make that work. And I think that this episode really shows what we can do. And, like, then, I don't know. It's just, like, it's probably my favorite one of the first season.
Me too, I think.
Yeah, it was a few of the sort of original objectives for this episode were exploring Delmont's backstory,
mm-hmm.
obviously. And then early on, we were like, we're going to do something very ambitious. Well, Vanessa is going to do something very ambitious in the sound space with this episode, because I have listened to like actual plays and other like audio stories that have had like chases or races in them. And it's very hard to sort of picture yourself there. So I wanted to make sure that if we were going to do this, there was like as strong of a sort of structure to the race itself for Vanessa then to bring to life.
Yeah. And so Len wrote this one. Len and Sam together, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, you wrote like the blueprint and then Sam did the
I worked on the first one with some help from Sam, and then Sam did a lot for the second one.
Sam wrote like most of the second episode for the first draft, and then I worked on the first half. The very first episode with Len. Because I don't think Sam wrote anything in the first one. It was mostly Len and then just my drafts moving stuff around.
Yeah. I remember like a big thing that made it kind of come together in the drafting, in the just kind of bullet points part, was getting the race to work. I was really into Drive to Survive at the time, and the decision to make it like the headset stewards talking to them and taking Georgie and Cameo out of the Cloud Racer itself and having that like headset communication.
Yeah.
And that really helped with the clarity of the scene, and also just like built out, I don't know, I feel like it built the space for me as a listener too.
Yeah. Like Sam came in and sort of made all of the like he came up with a bunch of names for the racers and like these like little locations and these like different beats. And then a different draft, which we did like as a team, was going back and then making those changes that Vanessa said, because the race is such a huge part of the episode.
Yeah.
It's also like it's a long sequence.
Yeah.
It's a very long sequence.
It's a long episode. I think that sequence like butts up to 10 minutes maybe even. Like,
yeah. It's the first part of this arc is our shortest episode, and then the second one is our longest episode. to date.
Yeah, and I remember initially that first episode was a lot. It took them a lot much longer time to get to the above ground. There's more of a complicated journey, but then it was, of course, cut down, which was good.
And a lot of the like things that happened in those early drafts still happen. They just happen over the course of a shorter period of time. And I think it makes the hijacking scene feel very urgent in a way that is good. Because it feels like you're cramming in all of this backstory while also there's an alarm going and Delmont's ripping panels off the wall and all this other stuff is happening.
Yeah. It was really fun. Because Delmont's kind of, you know, a bit of a square. If I do, I can say that.
Yeah, I could never say that.
Yeah, you don't know. I'm the only one who can say that. But in this episode, I love that we got to see a bit more of Delmont's bad side, how like motivated and ambitious they are, and how like how much of an ethical gray space they're in when it comes to techno magic. Like that was so much fun to finally to reveal and then also to perform. And it felt like at least with Cameo 2, their roles switched slightly, which is exciting.
I really liked how much Cameo hated Billy.
Yeah.
Like it has like my favorite line in the whole series when I don't know, I think Cameo is talking about like the apple on a stick. Oh, yeah. And is just, I don't know, Billy.
Oh, I bet you feel real stupid right now.
Yeah, like yeah. That was so funny. It gets me.
Yeah, Cameo beefing. It's good. Good content.
These episodes, I think, like, if you were to, like, ask me, like, my top five favorite scenes of the whole series, I think, like, four of them are in these two episodes.
Wow.
Like, I really like Delmont Billy working late at night.
Yeah.
The beginning of the race, the high... when they reach the above ground and it's really calm for a second, and then the climax of the race when the after the storm engine engage, or just even this whole storm engine sequence.
Yeah.
There's a problem with like, I love all of those, but weirdly, I think one of my favorites of those is like the nice them working, everything is pretty good, and Billy reveals his evil plans coming up to build the racer. Just like something about it, like I can imagine every little part of it, like when I close my eyes, and I really like it.
Yeah. You know, I think that's one of my favorite scenes too. It flows really well. It's emotional. It's very nostalgic, bittersweet. And then right as you're about to get into it, Delmont's like, all right, we got to go back to work. It's like very descriptive of Delmont's character, I think.
Yeah, those scenes specifically, because the whole first episode is just like, or the first half of the second part of this arc is mostly just talking. And you know, the action is in the back end. But there's quite a bit of time where they're just sort of chilling and we're just sort of getting to explore Billy and Delmont's relationship, because we don't really get to know Billy in the first part of the episode. Because it's like there's the introduction scene and then Hammerhand crashes through the wall and then the episode ends.
Hammerhand is so funny.
I love Hammerhand.
Yeah.
Like, oh my God. What's that they say about old dogs? Oh yeah, they suck.
Yeah. Kills me. So good.
Like every Hammerhand line makes me laugh so hard.
I knew the Hammerhand quote unquote unbetrayal was going to happen, but it's every time I hear it, it's still... surprises me.
Yeah. And like something, I don't know, we're working on this one, like, I don't know, a lot of the people on this, as I've talked about before, on this like project are just like people I happen to be friends with and like know, like all of you, right? And it's just like amazing that I have so many cool talented friends and that we are all now so close. But both Billy and Hammerhand, we all played in a band for like long times together, and it's just like funny because they didn't know they were going to be each other because people just like drift apart. And it's just like funny to hear them interact then.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Hammerhand eats and is like such a good like false flag villain.
Yeah.
And we had like a lot of different ideas for the voice. And then Christian came in and just did something that no one had pitched, but it felt perfect flow.
Yeah, I think in the email I sent him, I said a little Marvin the Martian, I think was the only direction. And then like pitching it up, and like he gave it so much up and down pitch that then when you put the auto tune on someone who's giving a very like a large pitch range in their voice, you put the auto tune on that and it's so funny.
And it gives Delmont this like this energy and this sort of agency that Delmont's resistance to the story in the first two arcs like sort of goes away, and Delmont is sort of the one driving a little bit more in this one, because they feel more comfortable in their element, and they get to have this moment where they stand up to Hammerhand, and
yeah,
I really like the ending of that first part.
I think that it's like really nice the degree to which it like is a Delmont episode, but Cameo doesn't fully fade away. Like Cameo has his beats, his little moments, and it's also just like funny. Like Cameo is so funny in these ones.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Watching Cameo just like be like insecure and very outwardly antagonistic towards the situation, while also trying to be like, yeah, well, whatever. Like,
yeah, like Cameo's normally so much in his element, and it feels like, correct me if I'm wrong, I feel like this is one of the first times where like Cameo can't talk his way out of something, and people are like, we're not really seeing, we're seeing through this, and yeah.
Yeah, there's no one really in Team Cameo up at the above ground.
Yes.
Except for Delmont, but Delmont's busy.
I feel like this is one of the like least amount of characters in an episode. Like very light.
Yes.
Like also Georgie, hilarious, goes without saying.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just like,
oh, thank you.
Basically, it's just like the two leads, Billy, Georgie, Hammerhand, announcer.
Who's the announcer? They were good.
Scott, he was Kickstarter and got the part through that. And I was just like, that's amazing.
Did a great job.
He killed it. He was, absolutely amazing. Yeah. Like, perfect for it.
Yeah. Like, we had to give him a part, but he was also perfect for that part.
Yeah.
Very coincidentally. It was a win-win-win for us.
Yeah. And like, he just killed that part. It was so good.
This episode was originally going to be later in the season, because we are in the original structure of these episodes, we had the retreat episode coming out before Billy, and I think it was Sam brought it up that it felt better both to get to Delmont's backstory a little bit sooner, and also that like we hadn't earned having an arc that doesn't have an assignment in it yet, and that doesn't sort of follow our two leads in the way that the retreat does. Like, it felt like it was too soon to be having a retreat episode.
Yeah, I agree. I think even four, I feel, is a little early, but I think that it worked given, I think it worked better if it was the fourth episode without doing a split, it wouldn't have worked as well.
Yeah, and it feels, I'm happy the episode came a little sooner, also this one in particular. Again, so we could get more of Delmont's backstory sooner, but it really broke kind of like the character molds that we had been making of like Delmont square, Cameo not a square. Cameo's a fun one.
Yeah.
I'm happy we got to that sooner.
Yeah. There's actually a point in the first, like this, the opening scene in the like the station, Delmont says, or Delmont's like, oh, I don't know if X Corp is gonna like us hanging around, like where we're going is not the best place. And Cameo's like, it'll be fine, you worry too much.
Mm-hmm.
And then the rest of the episode is them sort of taking their usual positions, and then they switch it, and Cameo's the one that's like, oh, we should probably stop or go do this other thing. And Delmont's like, no, it's fine.
Yeah, because we could have gone a lot of episodes keeping that structure of Delmont worried, Cameo not worried.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hot dog phobia. Who put that in? That's like, it's such a big thing. Was that a Sam thing? Because I feel like it's so specific.
I actually
That was Len?
It was,
I think
you.
It was.
It was
not Len.
Because the hot dog eating contest was all you. Like, that was in there from the original.
I think it was initially like, conceit. Is it going to be a hot dog eating contest or like a cloud racing? And then you were like, Caleb was like, it should be both.
It should be both.
And Bad Georgie was like, that's a great idea.
Yeah.
It is a great idea, actually. It makes the episode like so fun and so goofy.
Yeah. And it was weird getting them to fit, like to make it feel like they weren't just two random ideas. Yeah. But like the idea that like hot dog eating is sort of like their pool or their darts or like whatever that they just sort of do
daily.
In their little clubhouse. Yeah, daily. Except for Billy's mom's birthday. Mm-hmm. And I think the fact that it sort of starts the story, and then the fact that the sort of big emotional beat for Cameo at the end of the hot dog eating contest, like it gives Cameo something to overcome in a way that works really well.
Also, another sound design thing, good job not making the hot dog eating contest torture to listen to.
100%.
Because it has like some mouth sounds, but there's just a few. And then you're like, okay, I get that that's happening and I'm not being forced to listen to it.
It feels like we go to the perspective of like the announcer almost. We're not like immediately right by where everyone's mouths are.
Yeah.
It's a good choice.
So I wanted to make it really gross because it's funny, but it's only funny as the person who's making people sit through the gross thing. It's not like a joke. It's like sadistic. And so I didn't because...
Yeah, no. And gross mouth noises are like one of my least favorite sensory things to experience.
That is like something like at work as a sound designer when they're like, make it gross. Like when I see that note, I'm like, what I see is make me regret writing make it gross. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's a challenge. I would never challenge you like that.
Yeah, no, I'm just like, and I'm like easily grossed out, but when it's like out of spite, I'll power through. Yeah, but like, I don't know. This doesn't really happen as much in our series, but for gore, it's all just like food sounds. And it is like legit hard to eat an apple without imagining like flesh ripping now.
Wow. Yeah.
Because of how closely they're tied because of sound designing. Mm-hmm. And it's just a
produce
curse.
Is a lot of like bones or celery, lettuce. Yeah. Mm. Yeah, it's weird. Let's talk about Delmont's backstory. How did having sort of an idea of what Delmont was like in high school sort of change your idea of the character or like help you play it moving forward? Because I would say you sort of tapped into something in this arc that sort of carried on.
Yes.
To the rest of them.
I felt inspired, at least with Delmont, to be like, okay, Delmont, again, for the third time, is a square, is probably spending a lot of time doing techno magic, especially as a kid, and has never really been cool in like a traditional sense, but also how dedicated and focused they are on techno magic kind of puts them outside of, oh my gosh, does this person think I'm cool? And kind of puts them outside of those social worries that people have at that age. And I think because of that, Delmont kind of was drawn to a more unsavory crowd that was more willing to kind of get up into hijinks. And I like the idea of Delmont as like a techno magician going to essentially like the bad side, the shady side, because those people were doing techno magic and that being, they don't care about looking cool. They don't care about the friends or the people. They simply care about the magic.
Yeah. It's like someone who's a really good engineering student in high school being like, you know where the real engineering going on right now is? Drag racing. And then being like a really good student, but being like, I'm going to go hang out with the drag racing kids because that's where I can like actually hone my skills more.
Yeah. And it feels like Delmont's individualism just really like shows there. But then eventually they get to the point of, you know, wanting to go to techno magic school and they're probably not going to be super into that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. In a way, it's like it's Delmont's in this like next chapter of their life at X Corp, and they're returning to the chapter before last and sort of comparing notes. Like they're going with nostalgic eyes, but also like I think they see how they probably could have like maintained these relationships more and been nicer to Billy, but also Delmont left for a reason. Mm-hmm. And like Billy was getting a little too overzealous with the stuff that he was playing with magically.
And Delmont left to do bigger things, but then they haven't really accomplished that yet.
Yeah. I feel like there's also a ceiling of success you can reach at illegal cloud racing.
Yes.
Like, I also, like, if there's like an equivalent of like a Formula One in world where they're doing very high budget, very big legal racing, I don't think you can take your years of illegal racing on that resume and be like, give me a position. But maybe you can if you're good enough. Yeah. I don't know.
And really the reason Delmont like chose these big companies is because in then like from a world building standpoint, if you want to get like if you want to get away with doing things that most people aren't allowed to do, you have to be doing it behind these sort of protected walls.
Yeah, nothing X-Corp. Like in real life.
Yeah. Companies are really well regulated.
Yeah, yes. And they're really nice. And
oh my gosh.
We should give them more power and less regulation.
And more money. Like, I think they deserve it.
Yeah, and they would never, like, prioritize money over, like, human wellness.
Yeah,
like,
that's lives. What I love about, I don't know, just big corporations.
And I think capitalism. They have really good ideas, too. Like, I would love to wear a headset that just lets me see another world sometimes. That's not really a world. Anyway.
Another thing about this one is like you really leveled up your acting on this one. Like you were bringing it, especially on the day of studio, like with Billy. Like I feel like Caleb and I just kept like looking to each other being like, yeah, like,
yeah, something clicked. Also, I mean, obviously love working with Sam with Cameo, but everyone can
he's
hear.
Not here. You can be honest.
No, I do love it, but Sam is so good. Always nails it the first time. And oddly, like, not having him there, I felt like it was a little more okay to take risks and mess up.
Yeah, and I think also Sam will begin the improvs.
Yes.
And so then you're clinging onto his improv and going with that. And with someone who isn't... someone who's not you or Sam obviously is going to improv a lot less because they're not, they don't know the world is in and out, and they're just like, it's, I imagine, more uncomfortable as an actor. Like you feel like you don't have the latitude to do so. And so since it then gave you more space to like play and like, yeah, I don't know what it was, but you were just like a machine.
Yeah, no, thank you. It was such a fun episode. And I think also like getting a bit more of Delmont's like rebellious side and backstory too, I was just like, okay, I get what we're going for here. And I know this is the above ground episode is about Delmont's like high school days, but I really kind of brought me back to college.
Yeah, your crust punk days.
Yeah, I was a edgy punk kid, and Billy was very much inspired by the people I was around that were more or less okay. So yeah, I think I was just able to tap into that. And then going forward, Delmont's character just clicked a lot more in my head.
Yeah. And this is, I think, something we all know, that the name Bad Call Billy is something that in like Facebook Messenger, you know how you can change your nickname? I did something really stupid while texting Sam and changed my own nickname to Bad Call Billy.
I knew this, but I forgot about this.
Yeah, I like texted an ex and then immediately changed my name to Bad Call Billy in chat.
Wow.
I remember that.
Yeah. And it just stayed as Bad Call Billy for a while.
Yeah,
William
Bad Call. Bad Call Billy was like sort of in the earliest conceptions, I would say a much more like generic sort of just like leather jacket, bad boy, sort of like snarky, cool guy. And the Billy that like Liam created is so much rounder and so much more charming in like a unique way than what we originally had.
It's impossible to not like Bad Call Billy as you're listening to it.
He's very charismatic. He also, like, one of my favorite performances is when he gets scary.
Yeah.
Like, in studio, I was like, because day of studio, he was, like, stumbling on some things. He was kind of having a bad day. And, like, we did a lot of retakes later. But then, like, once we got to the scary stuff in studio, he was, like, in it. He was, like, somewhere. It was wild.
Yeah, that was scary. And especially after... Yeah, after all the race stuff, after, I mean, his performance, he performed Billy, I think, a lot nicer than we had imagined. And then, like, just when Billy got mean and scary, it felt so much realer. And...
Yeah. Yeah. It, like, it helped sell the, like, the twist at the end so much more because, like, yeah, really, it feels like Billy was genuinely trying to extend, like, an olive branch to... Mm-hmm. Delmont for most of the episode, and then Cameo's the only one that's really seeing that there's something else going on.
Yeah, the like don't touch me to Georgie like breaks my heart every time. Like it is so real and it's so hard. I'm just like, oh.
And like the end of the hot dog eating competition and like the weight of like Delmont winning and then choosing to just be like, it's like, I don't need this place.
Yeah.
Like, this is yours, Billy. Like, I just beat you. And also, here you go. Bye.
Yeah, I just beat you, but you're the one who needs this.
Yeah.
And like, I don't know. I know I said I didn't want to talk about it too much. And I like, it'd be weird for me not to mention, though, that like the actor who played Billy is a super close friend of mine who passed away 2 weeks before the episode aired. And he like never got to hear how good he did. And it's just like, it's hard. But, like, he killed it and makes me really happy that I got to work with him one more time. And so.
Yeah. Yeah, he did amazing.
It is a wonderful performance. And I think the depth and the dynamic sides of Billy as a character is something I'm really glad that we fought for because it was hard to get.
Yeah.
No. It's wonderful.
Yeah. Yeah. Like initially Billy was super mean and then Billy was like almost the victim. And then we came to like a very interesting kind of middle ground. You can't really tell who out of Delmont and Billy, who the
mean one was.
The mean one was. Yeah.
Yeah. They sort of fit.
We're all the mean one.
We're all the mean one.
It's actually Georgie.
It's actually Georgie.
Oh, poor Georgie.
Poor Georgie.
Bad Georgie was a character that Len made.
I didn't know.
Yeah, Len made Bad Georgie.
look on your face was just like, I did.
And then somewhere along the line, I just climbed in. And mm-hmm. I've been riding mm-hmm. around ever since.
Yeah.
Because I really, just love this little
You'll
guy.
Just slide into Georgie voice a lot.
I think
like not as much now that we're not actively recording. But I see the cogs turning of you trying to find a way to get some Georgie in season 3 as we're working on it.
Oh, there, yes. But I think, like, Georgie's so funny because, like, he's aggressive, but also, like, the second Billy is around is just, like, the biggest simp in the world. And it's just, like, constantly simping for a Billy and hates all this attention that Delmont is getting and also... like doesn't care at all about Cameo, like in the slightest. And like the confrontation scene when Cameo is like, oh, hey, Georgie, like, what are you doing out here? And Georgie starts getting all like defensive. It's so funny.
Yeah. You know, I think if Delmont or if Cameo and Bad Georgie met under different circumstances, I think they'd be friends. They've got some common ground.
Yeah. I wonder, and I hope after the whole kidnapping and tying up.
The second one of those in the...
Oh, yes.
There's another one in the next episode, in arc 4.
Yeah.
And so here's a fun fact. Copy and paste the sound effects from the three of them.
They're all the same.
I'm pretty sure they're all the same. Like, I probably, like, nudged a cloth shuffle here or there to match the, you know.
Cameo's a little damsel in distress in season 1.
Yeah, he doesn't get tied up in season episode two. Does he get tied up in season two? No.
Yes. They get taken somewhere involuntarily against their will, possibly unconscious.
Can we make it a tie up so I can use those sound effects again?
Yeah, we can. I'll add rope. Look at all this rope. There, we'll just put that in.
Yeah.
We can add a narrator.
Yes.
And then Cameo was tied up and captured.
Should do a comp of the three times he's tied up just to hear them side by side by side. I'll put that right here.
I feel like someone's going to like that too much.
Oh, no.
Okay, after I say this, we'll put in the comp of the three times Cameo is tied up. If you like it too much, skip past it.
You're not allowed to listen to
honor
it.
Honor system, okay?
We'll say, they'll be like, hey, if you like this too much, stop listening immediately.
We don't actually need your money. No, we do.
I don't know. I don't
I'll take it. You're suddenly above taking perverts' money? What else happens in this episode? I got to make a jock jam finally. Because it's a jock jam that plays while they're getting ready for the contest. It's like a da 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 da. Been fascinated by jock jams for a little while. And so to get to do one, Perfect Record was originally written as a jock jam. Did not turn out as a jock jam.
I did notice Perfect Record playing in the background for the first time in this episode when I listened to it today. Yeah.
Whoa, I've never caught that.
It plays at the Bad Call bar, whatever it is.
Yeah, when they enter, it's background music. Oh. But you're just getting like a...
The best part.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's one of my favorites. Well, no, I think it is my favorite. As you know, big Perfect Record fan. Well, if we could go backwards, the episode opens on a conversation with Celeste Zapper and Brim, the magic hour. Yes, Celeste.
Does she come back? Is she important?
No.
Nah.
Don't worry about it.
Just Delmon's hero, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Also, Vanessa's favorite character.
Yeah, I'm
or
a big
at least
Celeste
at
fan.
One point in time.
No, I like her. She's like cool.
Yeah. There, I think at the time there was like an advice podcast I listened to a lot. And
what advice podcast? I love advice podcasts.
You listen to
it?
Like,
was a corny one.
All the time.
A horny one.
A corny one.
Oh.
Didn't you say it was one where like people had like really weird issues?
Yeah, well, people like, really call personal. In with like really personal life problems, and I don't, well, maybe we should put this in, I don't know.
I mean, no, if they put it out there, then
there was one time I was listening and I swear I knew the person who called.
Oh my god,
that's juicy.
Yeah,
that's like, I hope that happens to me. I would love like, to take that secret to my grave.
Voice was the same. The issue that she had lined up with what I knew about her, and the speech patterns also were the same.
What kind of issue? Like, you don't have to say exactly what happened.
It was basically just like, I'm having a hard time finding someone romantically who's at my level of like romantic interest. And the advice that this person gave was, well, everyone has a different way of expressing affection. And this person, sorry, this is a whole thing, but the person who did that advice podcast was normally very soft and tender. And I was really surprised to hear them switch and be like, actually, no.
You're the problem.
I love advice podcasts and I just complain about when the people answer wrong so much.
Yeah, literally. Vanessa. So we work out together and then like you listen to them while we work out, and without fail, we are in the elevator after working out in the gym in my building, coming back up here, and you will say, you will tell me about an advice thing without fail.
Yeah, and I'm just like,
what they did
aren't
wrong.
They wrong?
Yeah, that's what we should. We write in, let Cade and I have an advice show. We have so many strong opinions.
Yeah.
That's the next BOCO.
That's
I'll,
the next BOCO.
I'll call in. And then you'll be like, wait, is this...
Ask for advice.
I'll
write
ask
in.
You for advice.
Cade and Vanessa advice
just
show.
Just don't ask me for career advice.
You could like reboot Two Robot Sex Party. So it's like a robot with two heads, but then they just both give advice. Yeah. You just call in. It's not this idea. It would be a different character design and everything. But like, I only listen to fake advice podcasts. Like, I guess unless you count Therapy Gecko, which I tune into sometimes on Reddit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I like the inspiration for that was just thinking about. If someone doesn't answer your question the way that you want to, and if, I mean, of course, you'd call in and you'd kind of imagine what the person
would say. Yeah, you're sort of fishing
say.
For an answer.
You're sort of fishing
when you
for an answer.
An
and I really
show.
Think Delmont was fishing for like, oh, you know, just keep working hard. You can do it. And that's not really the answer that they got. And I think like that cringe follows them through the entire episode and also just really informs their actions.
That scene is really cringe.
Yeah.
Like it's hard for me to listen to sometimes.
Yeah, I feel that.
It was really fun to perform though, I'm not going to lie. It was like doing Delmont's long rambling question monologue and...
Yeah, I feel like the... Even from what was written, like not even from what was improvised, it got cut down, the rambling, because it was a lot of rambling.
It was a lot.
We'll release an unedited version of that ramble that's like 8 minutes long instead of the 3 that it is, I think.
Yeah, because we definitely also just got like you rambling in studio to like fill it in. And then there was like a lot of funny stuff. But then, one of the last... major edits we had on the episode, we were like, we gotta just it's better if this
it was
moves.
Similar to the Soul Above Zizek or whatever Soul Above Zizek
because it's
Soul Above
so
Beastie.
Rambly
and it
and
was like,
just like all over and then spilling all
yeah
their guts
and it makes
out.
Sense that Celestin's and Brim would be like, all right, we need to get this need to get going, like
and then they're like, ooh, hachi machi.
That one has a really I do love the diegesis swap at the end of that scene.
So smooth.
Yes, the like you get the that turn like that fades into a
maybe
into,
she's right sorry.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Just the way that fades into coming from like a speaker and then you get the ambience coming in and then you get I love that stuff.
Oh, that was a really fun scene.
And I think it introduces Celeste and Delmont's sort of larger motivations and inspiration as well.
Yeah.
And it allows us a peek inside Delmont's mind going into this episode that's vital.
I agree. I think it's a really cool little... I like when there are little things at the beginning that are, like, kind of different, a kind of different... Like, it's important information to the episode, but it's, like, a very different setting. It's characters that aren't in the rest of the episode, something kind of separate that informs everything else. As an intro or an outro, I, like, love those.
Yeah, because I think up until this point, we normally begin... on the assignment or kind of like within X Corp in some way. And this was very much not that.
Yeah. Is there anything else about the episode though that we should?
I really like the synthesized lightning, like the storm.
Oh, cloud racers.
Yeah, the cloud racing.
I have no idea how I made that so cool.
There was a couple of rounds of notes. Yeah. And I kept sending you back to the workshop and I'd be like, can you just add like a little wind or like a little, and it was one of those things where I was like, this is such a cool premise, like it has to sound as cool
as
it is.
The base of it remained basically unchanged and then it was kind of like adding layers and like I'm super proud of the, like, because I played the Cloud Racer on a piano, like it is like samples that are then processed heavily with like it glides in pitch between notes, and so you can, you know, as the car gets faster it goes up in pitch and the it's, you know, there's a choppiness and the choppiness increases to the point of being like until you're not hearing it as choppy anymore and just like stuff like that. So I did this, like I created this one bass line sound of like the combination of, there was a huge storm here that was terrifying, like in 2021 maybe, because I was here like when even like I don't know if you guys all heard, like the person came on the speaker, it was the like, there's a tornado, you guys need to get away from windows, and I was recording out my window these just terrifying like wind and thunder, and so that's like the bass layer, and then like a train, and then like I think just white noise, and then it like the chopping and all of this stuff, it like goes onto a like keyboard that then is like mapped to like the higher the pitch, the faster the it was like all of this stuff. And that's kind of like the base layer. And I created this big long file with a bunch of intensities of that, that I then would just pull.
Cause Cloud Racers themselves was like an old, like I just general RMU idea that you had, right? Or
I can't remember where they came from.
Yeah.
I feel like no they idea. Predated the episode as like something that exists in RMU.
They but maybe did.
Maybe. Did you come up with Cloud Racers?
I do remember being like, is this too similar to pod racing from Star Wars?
Okay, so it was less.
I think it probably, yeah.
Hell yeah. And when you thought that, when you came up with like them being powered by weather, were you thinking about it as, because I think it's a great, like arc two sets up like, oh, weather's really important. And like, is something that's like monitored and like of moral value to this society. And then the second episode is like, we're gonna mess with all of that.
Yeah, I think it was just like, I mean, because yeah, weather is really important. I don't entirely know if like the weather part came after or like when that really came in, but it felt cool to be, I think, just because we, out of all the settings we had been in, there wasn't really like a sky city.
Yeah
do we have all of the classic like video game biomes covered? We don't have fire,
no lava.
That is my least favorite video game biome. Like when something has to have like a lava level, I'm just like, just come up with something cool.
Lava, desert, ice. Or ice, any of the three, just don't have them.
It's not fun to play on. Two of them.
Do we want to wrap it up?
Always wrap it up.
Well, my name is Georgie, and I'm here to say we love to make podcasts.
And we're gay.
And we're gay. And I'm really gay.
Yeah, let's wrap it up. I think we might be releasing the score to the whole series soon.
Yeah, I started on the art.
Nice. Ooh. It's so exciting.
You saw it.
Yeah, it looks great. I'm very excited.
I can't wait to add them to my D&D campaign.
Everyone take a guess of how many tracks we're going to release.
36.
60.
68.
Really?
You're releasing all of them?
There are 100. So I actually cut out 32 of them. No, but I like listened through. It's like 82 minutes right now. And I'm just like, they keep just being bangers.
Yeah.
There's a lot of, like, thank you. Thank you.
Yeah. And there's people that are out there that if they can get their hands on it, they'll use it.
Yeah. Like, use it. Go for it.
I love ambient.
Yeah. Hire me to score your projects. What was I going to say, though? No, it's just like, it was funny listening back because I was like checking through them to get ready to do that. And there's so many that I have no recollection of creating, because I think I created almost all of them in like a 4-month period between September and December last year. And I was like in a daze. And so I'll like listen back and I'll be like, I have no idea what this song is, and hear it and be like, I don't think I made that, but this bangs. And it's just like track after track. And there'll be some that are just like, you can tell by the title, I was so mad when I made it. And then it just sounds good. Like one of those, like, I hate music so much is like the name of one of them. And then I'm like, oh, this is going to be something. And then it's just like a normal ass track.
Are you okay? Yeah.
Oh my god, wait, there's the one, this is a cry for help, seriously.
That's the name of the track.
That's the name of the track, and it's one of the really calm drones for episode 5. No, but like the titles of the... Let's actually take a second for me to read off some of these titles, because they are funny.
If that's okay with everyone.
Yeah.
I love them. I need to grab my computer.
There's a lot of titles I really like. It's still opening. Even like some of the things that come up again and again and again, like just like the normal score. Okay, experience the world, obvious. Easy. Cloudbird wrong, because I was inspired by Phoenix Wright. And so it's the opposite. Okay, this is one of my favorites. This is like the little theme. That's friendship is an ulterior motive. And it plays whenever things are going really well for our guys. Hands of Hammer. Wow.
We haven't gotten to the weird ones, I'm sorry. Let's keep this cordy. Loss of control you didn't have to start with. This is in the first scene. Sorry, I decided I'm doing this right now, everyone. I apologize.
No.
Start of a stressful day. I know Kate likes this one.
Oh, I like this too.
Yeah. Cameo is like noir cameo theme is the clown is a detective and the judge is a clown. Kind of fun.
Mm-hmm.
Threatening fight is one of my favorite ones.
And you wrote that like right when you were doing arc 5, right?
No, that one actually I wrote before the whole series. I just like I was like messing around and I was like, I really like this. I don't think I can make this into a pop song, so let's use it for score. Okay, we're getting to the weird ones. A cry for help. This is a cry for help.
I would not hear that call.
Yeah.
Or that cry.
Bad at sneaking. I'm sorry, when I'm almost done, don't worry. Modes and rules and fire insurance is one of my favorite ones. Running towards actual danger was, this was supposed to be the chase in one, and then you were like, make the chase less scary. So this was written for the chase.
This is good.
And then I think it's in arc 3. Wait. The function of marbles societally. Okay, I think there's all the weird name ones. The theme is thank you. And that's the credits. Here, Caleb, go for the read us out of here.
Well, thank you all for listening to another episode of the X Corp Break Room. It has been wonderful chatting about ARC 3. If you want to check more out, no, that's not what I should say. I can't edit it because there's music in the background. I'll just have to keep going. No,
yeah, keep going.
Keep going. It's great. You should listen to the other bonus content that we have out. Watch out for some new Opal stuff on the horizon in the next few months. And until next time, don't forget to experience the world.
Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for supporting us.
Yes, thank you
so
much.
Thank you.